This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Come get up. See where I live. IGN GameScoop. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week, Justin Davis, Scoop. Jared Petty,
Scoop.
Sam Claiborne.
Scoopity-doo.
It's good to be back, everybody, after a little week off. We got a great show for you this week. We're going to be talking about Resident Evil. It's that time of year. You're talking about spooky games, horror games. Friday the 13th. But first, before we get to all the horror stuff, let's talk about something. Well, maybe this is scary, too. Battlefront Season Pass has been announced to set you back $50.
That is a scary number.
For the season pass. Yeah. Now, just earlier this year, we thought it seemed crazy when Arkham Knight's season pass was $40.
Yeah. Hmm.
Things are elevating quickly.
Yeah, I take it back. Everything pass. I said last show about games being more expensive, never mind. Forget that.
You were arguing.
Yeah, so I'm just wrong. Never games. Mind. They heard that and this happened. I mean, obviously, I'm obviously responsible. I apologize to
you. You want them to be more expensive to increase the quality of the games.
Yeah.
Is that right?
To keep the industry going, effectively, yeah.
But what if they were cheaper, they might sell more games anyway.
So they might.
That's the big argument there.
Yeah.
$50 is not so, half as bad as not knowing what you're buying.
It's well, we do know some things, right?
Yes,
so we know that gets
things.
You 4 expansion packs, but we don't have details on them.
That means nothing.
You'll get early access to those expansion packs by 2 weeks, a shoot first emote, which I don't know what that means.
It means you go like this.
Yeah, it probably does.
Maybe you just pull your chest open, it's like Han shot first t-shirt underneath.
Maybe,
just
yeah.
like whenever you shoot somebody.
That animation where they move his head out of the way of the bullet is just my favorite thing. It's like him walking over Jabba, and he's like, burr, burr, burr.
Yeah. I'm not one of those guys that is really militant about Star Wars, and I don't necessarily care what version I'm watching. I feel like it's mostly the same movie. But that little head jerk is just terrible.
Yeah.
It's just the worst.
It's awful.
Yeah, unless one of those four expansions is a sprawling, like, single-player MMO.
Yeah,
RPG.
Yeah.
I think that $10 map packs are pretty standard, right? Mm-hmm. You get some new multiplayer mats for $10. So four of those for $40, yeah, it makes sense. But I don't know how they're going to justify that extra $10. And usually you get a discount for paying up front. It's like
it's supposed to be less than buying it all piecemeal.
So those packs might cost $20 a piece.
Maybe, or 15 would be, this would be $5 cheaper. Or no, it wouldn't.
I think that whether or not this is acceptable is entirely based on how many Ewoks we get. Yeah. Whatever they're giving out.
How many Ewoks?
Yeah,
like, I want the voodoo Ewok.
Exactly.
The guy with the skull on his head.
Chief Chirpa?
Oh, yeah.
Chief Chirpa or Low Gray? No, Low Gray.
And
Low Gray.
I want the baby Ewok that's sassy.
I want the baby Ewok.
What about the Ewok that dies?
I want the Ewok that plays.
Only one?
That plays
surely more
the Stormtrooper.
Well, you know the one I'm talking about, though, right? The one that's like, Yeah. And his buddy's like
So you want the Ewok that rocks that Ewok?
Yeah.
And then the Ewok that plays the drums?
Yeah.
Who has Darth Vader's helmet as his drum as part of my conspiracy theory.
What about some of the cartoon Ewoks from the Ewoks TV show, like the Saturday
morning
show?
That's one of the skull
ones.
That movie is, the trilogy is, what, 6 hours, 6.5 hours of total runtime, and burned into my brain is that second and a half of the one Ewok saying, whoa.
You think it was like his brother?
Yeah, I assumed that they were husband and wife.
Oh wow, yeah. That's
I'm just saying thought. They need to strengthen those AT-STs if Ewoks can destroy them.
Yeah,
there's that. Right.
With logs.
Exactly. So good thing they had those logs ready.
Ewoks are so dumb.
Oh, I like the Ewoks.
Yeah, people hate on the Ewoks. I thought they were great, but I was a kid when I saw it.
I'm pro Ewok.
I'm pro Ewok.
I'm the only one?
Yeah.
I hear a lot of people talking crap on the Ewoks.
I was the right age.
That was a How I Met Your Mother bit. The Ewok line, how to determine how old someone is by whether
Ewok
or not they
the
like.
Line.
Yeah, that's how he Ewok determined whether or not he liked to date younger women. So if they liked Ewoks, he would date them. Mm. If they didn't like Ewoks, he wouldn't, because that determined how old they'd been when they saw Jedi.
It's pretty originally. Good.
Anyway, I don't think that's enough information to make a buy decision on for buying a season
Does
pass.
Does $50 sound like... So it's 83% the cost of the actual game.
Some good math.
Seriously, it might be great stuff. I don't know. I might want to buy a season pass after the stuff comes out, and it doesn't work that way, which is what's so frustrating.
That's exactly right. The price, I'm kind of indifferent to the price, to a limit, to a point. Obviously, at some point, it's going to be too much money for me to consider no matter what. But what's more problematic here is getting people to spend money before they know what they're getting. Mm-hmm. If it's $50 and it's awesome and it's this huge amount of stuff, cool. But it's $50 and it's junk, then no.
It's kind of the loot crate approach to video games, and I don't like that.
It's an unrefundable pre-order.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
I think pre-orders are a little silly, too.
And again,
read a review first.
We don't know if you're getting a discount. It used to be, give us $30 up front, we're going to deliver you some cool stuff. If you wait, it'll be $40. But now we don't even know if that's the case. And
what if it came with those Star Wars digital cards you like so much?
Oh, my goodness. If it came with some Star Wars digital trading cards.
Like you're only getting
that's a whole different story. Well, you can resell those, to be fair.
You still ahead of the curve on that?
Yeah,
he made.
You're not ahead, are you?
He made like 110 bucks.
I know about that one sale. I know you're ahead.
I have sold over $300 worth of digital Star Wars trading cards.
Are you reporting this to the IRS?
Well, I mean, I think they're being sold.
Would you like to look at the camera and tell your constituents that
they're being sold on a website that I think is going to send me a W. That's
$10.99. You're going to get or whatever you get for that. I don't know, whatever form.
They don't do that stuff.
Pop quiz, hotshot. What do you think was the first game to have?
That worked. It worked. It worked.
There was a pair of games that came out right one after the other that both had season passes.
Call of Duty.
Oh, I have no idea.
No.
Wait, that you said what?
So, what were the first games to have season passes? There was a pair of games a few years ago that came out right after the other that both had a season pass.
Battlefield.
If you look back to
Battlefield, Medal of Honor.
No clue.
No, not a military
Dead?
Shooter.
Is that one of them?
In 2011,
Assassin's Creed.
I think April of 2011, Mortal Kombat.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Had a season pass for all the downloadable characters, and then the next month, L.A. Noire. Had a $10 season pass that got you 4 new missions, 2 new outfits, and a challenge mode.
$10. I did not know that.
Yeah, it was only $10. In 4 years, it's inflated to
$50. Well, back then, $10 would get you a whole video game.
Remember L.A. Noire?
Yeah, it was a really...
The Screaming at Children simulator.
Really interesting game.
I like that
Three
game.
Discs on Xbox.
Three discs. I remember that, too.
I liked L.A. Noire.
That was creepy. Super creepy.
Oh, what's that? Oh, no, it's just cigarettes.
It's kind of like what would have happened if they'd have kept making Shenmue games. I liked that about
but
it.
But I seriously know my way around L.A.
L.A., and because of that game?
Yeah. It really helps.
And
it really helped my L.A. geography.
And I was watching Mad Men at the time, and he, that guy's from Mad Men.
Yeah.
That guy's from Mad Men.
Yeah, they got him all.
Even Denethor.
Yeah.
Ken Cosgrove.
Oh, wow. Ken Cosgrove was in that? I didn't remember.
He was the main character.
Yeah. Did he have both his eyes?
Okay, yeah. Yes, he had both his eyes.
That's why I didn't recognize him. Okay.
Spoilers, jeez.
Yeah. I just finished rewatching Mad Men again. Oh, God, that may be my favorite TV show.
Oh, wow. Man. Totally lost me. Like,
what about
four,
Mr. Science Theater 3000?
That's up there. Mr. Science Theater, King of the Hill, The Twilight Zone, those are all up there.
Lost.
The Simpsons?
Not lost for me.
You guys are jerks.
They also announced this week Battlefront does not have dedicated voice chat. Is that a big deal?
So I'm torn on this. When it was announced, I'm like, oh man, that's BS, that's such baloney. But then I realized in the beta, I never once had my headset plugged in, and I didn't care. I didn't even, Like, I don't, it's not a part of these multiplayer games that I really engage with unless I'm, like, playing with you, and you and I are going to, like, co-op through something. But yeah. I don't want to chat, I don't care to chat with randoms.
Yeah, through so me, this...
The thing is, you can still chat with just the consoles.
Right.
So I don't understand, like, you can still do it, so does it matter?
For me, this is a feature. Like, I'm like, yay, I don't have to listen to people babble, and I don't have to talk.
It's a bonus. It's
yeah,
a bonus
this feature. Is good for me. I'm like, yes, absolutely.
It should be on the box. Decision was yeah. No, although it's already a mature game, right?
What's that?
It's already a mature game.
Yeah.
Is it?
So it's not saving people from swears.
It's not rated T?
I figured they'd go T for teen for a Star Wars game.
That's a good
game.
Question. I guess I don't even know.
It would be teen.
There might not be blood.
I forgot about the teen.
There's never been...
Yeah, I mean,
there's no blood.
It's like there's
13 would have been. Yeah.
There's definitely some communications problems at EA. Nah, this is a communication topic. Pun. No, but like they announced this like right back to back, where they announced a mode that was going to require like an objective based mode, where like yeah. you know get to these different points and work together as a
yeah,
team.
Yeah, you really need to work mm-hmm. on those.
And like I don't. It sounds like again, it's torn. I'm torn because I know that when I play the game, I'm just going to run around the maps and shoot people. Like I don't really care that much. But it does feel like if you're building a game where the foundation of it is coordinating as a team and more than just racking up kills. To not have voice chat baked in.
Maybe use your Han shot emoji to tell people where to go. Like,
yeah, maybe it's one of the four like, DLC packs.
Yeah,
yeah, but, yeah you're right though. There are some of those scenarios are going to require coordination. It does seem a little weird that it's not there. I'm not going to miss it, but I'm not going to be playing those more objective based.
So my wishes now for the DLC are voice chat, a single player campaign. I gotta find the other two. It'll make this a full retail.
Space combat and galactic conquest.
Space combat and yeah,
galactic conquest. Yeah,
that's right. So with those four things as DLC, okay. I think it's worth the $60 price tag, which is now $110.
That's good.
How much can you pay for Battlefront? That's what I want to know. So if you get us the super special edition,
yeah,
right, then you buy each of the DLC pieces individually.
We did that. You just invented a wiki headline right there. How much can you pay for Battlefront?
We did that.
You pre-order it.
Lego Dimensions, and it was like $300.
Oh, no, it was almost $700, wasn't it? Yeah.
Well, to see everything in Skylanders, we always do that math in our in our wiki every year, and it's always like, it's not too bad, it's like $150.
Yeah, yeah. Lego Dimensions was, forgive me if I'm wrong here, but I think it was almost $700, if I remember the page
Goodness
right.
Gracious.
Lego have always been expensive.
Yeah,
they're just expensive toys. Yeah. Like, you get one set a year, if you're lucky, and not get an NES game. That's how it was in the 80s.
And it's worth every penny because they made that sweet, sweet movie. So that's all right.
True. We got an email this week from Big Tony Style.
Big Tony!
I thought for sure he was gone.
I remember Big Tony.
I didn't think he was with us anymore.
He's not. He'll always be with us.
In our hearts.
Yeah.
Like that Ewok.
It's true. Oh, it's so sad.
Funny thing about Big Tony Style, I don't know if you saw this, I posted when I was, we took a little mini moon after the wedding last week, we were up in Russian
Scoop.
River. Yeah, we were up in Russian River, and I found a calendar for the Women and Waiters 2016 catalog, and it's like a riverfront, and there's a boat, and there's
Waiters,
a girl.
Waiters, W-A-D-E-R-S. Yeah, right. I had to like look at that picture for a long time to be like, what is this doing?
There's a girl posing in a bikini wearing like waders, which I guess is something you put on your legs.
But
when
she's
you're going
mainly
out fishing
in a bikini,
in the water.
And you're like looking all over, you're like, oh yeah, her feet are in big boots.
Yeah. Yep. And apparently that's the thing. So I imagine the calendar is just all these girls in bikinis wearing waders.
So
you didn't flip to another month?
Well, it was sealed.
Oh, okay.
You know, yeah, I didn't break the seal. But I posted that photo, and Big Tony Style sent me a photo of his wife wearing waiters.
Whoa!
It's like a thing.
Wow.
She was close. She wasn't in a...
So yeah, just in like waiters and regular clothes, not
over her regular
I wore clothes. Chest waiters when I was duck hunting regularly.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, I've been walking into ponds in my jeans like an idiot for 20 years now.
Yeah, I've worn waiters, definitely.
Anyway, Big Tony Style says, he's talking about Battlefront. We've seen Titanfall and Evolve try to go the multiplayer-only route this generation. These games weren't able to maintain a strong player base. What, if anything, will Battlefront need to do to maintain a strong player base months after launch?
I got it. They should pick a theme, like Star Wars. 9 million people played the beta.
Yeah.
They're set. That's amazing.
They don't have to worry about it. This is the one multiplayer-only game that's going to have a long tail.
No, I think people will get bored.
It should probably be free-to-play.
Mm.
Games that are multiplayer only work in a free-to-play context because then there's no barrier to, like, man, this game's really fun. Check it out.
9 million people played the beta because it was free.
It was free, yeah.
There's a barrier to entry, but there's also a barrier to staying around with free-to-play.
There's no barrier to entry with free-to-play.
There's no barrier to entry, but then there's immediately a barrier of, oh my god, I have to pay money to stay here. I mean, that's...
Maybe, or maybe not. What about Team Fortress 2?
Or
Planet Side 2.
IGN paid for that, so that's the only reason I enjoyed it so much.
Money hat.
Yeah.
Okay, he was a freelancer.
Yeah, I worked for
us. Let's clarify.
Yeah, sorry, that wasn't meant to say. Yeah, actually, IGN was paying the bills because I was writing the guide.
We did not put out Planetfall 2.
By the way, that's a good game, and you should play it if you have somebody else to pay the bills for it.
Free-to-play in and of itself is neither good nor bad. It's just like there's great $60 games and $60 games that are a huge ripoff at that price. Some MMOs do it really well. Some don't do it well. I played Lord of the Rings Online for a long time and thought its free-to-play model was great. And it's a huge asset that in a game where all the fun comes from playing with other people, that there's that you can just say, check out this game, download it, it's free, play with me, and then if they like it, they're hooked.
Okay, now we're all going to guess what Justin played as in Lord of the Rings Online. All right, I'm going to go first.
Okay, go.
I had multiple, well, sure, go ahead. But
okay, let's do a primary one.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we do that?
I had a main, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so your main, I'm thinking, was a elf with a beautiful elf mane.
I would have guessed a dwarf.
I'm saying an Olag Hai, the rare dark troll. Yeah.
Can you play as an
troll?
So it's an Uruk-hai that's a troll.
You are all way off.
All of us are off?
You are a beautiful elf maiden?
You were a hobbit?
Yeah. I was a hobbit burglar.
I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt.
I was a hobbit burglar, and his name was Bulb.
Bulb. That's pretty good.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Do you have furry feet under your shoes?
No, Bulb was taken, so he was Bulbin.
Was he Bulba Fett?
No.
No.
Bulba Fett.
Bulbasaur?
Bulba Feet.
Bulba Feet.
Moving on. Resident Evil.
I've heard of it.
Capcom's Resident Evil division is focusing on VR, developing new technologies to create VR games. Hmm. We could imagine virtual reality Resident Evil is in our future.
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
I kind of like it because the Resident Evil games, with the exception of 4, that I've enjoyed the most are the ones where I can't control anything, and VR, generally speaking, is still kind of clunky and makes you feel a little lost and disoriented. So, you know, if I'm walking around with not all that much of a measure of control and things jumping in front of my face screaming at me all the time.
You support the classic Resident Evil control scheme.
Absolutely.
Not being
absolutely.
You're one of those defenders.
I am one of those people.
Ah, Jared,
it's part of what made it awful. I mean, 4 is amazing. 4 is superb.
Yeah.
But it's a very different kind of game. But no, I think, all joking aside, VR horror, absolutely. Sign me up. I want scary things. I want ambient things. I want to be peeked over my shoulder, frightened.
Oh, God.
You know, that sounds fantastic.
Did you hear what their kitchen demo was that they mentioned in this article?
I have not seen the demo, but I've heard about it.
Yeah, it was like you put on a VR headset, and then there's like some creepy stuff happening around you, but you're strapped to a chair.
Yeah.
And you have to like saw yourself out of
Justin
a chair.
Justin doesn't like scary stuff.
So it works in the context of you having something on your face that's preventing you from seeing a little bit, and then that you also are stuck.
Like a face hugger.
And you don't really have to play the game. You just watch it.
I don't want anything to do with that. The idea of I get so freaked out just playing spooky games to begin with that if I can look, like physically turn my head and look over my shoulder and there's some spooky beast, there's some spooky behind me that I didn't know was there, I would lose my goddamn mind. No, I don't want, VR horror will literally kill someone. It's only a matter of time. They'll have a heart attack.
Well, the first game that ever killed somebody was Battlezone, right? And that was the most VR-like arcade game.
Yeah, guy had a heart attack
kill someone,
right?
Really?
Yeah, from the intensity. Trying too hard to get to that volcano, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, so far away. But that is a VR experience, so we have direct evidence.
Like, horror is one of those things that, for people that do like, I'm not joking, I literally want nothing to do with this, but for people that are into spooky games, they like being scared, they like that feeling, yeah.
Do you not like spooky movies?
No, I don't like anything. I don't like being spooked.
Do you hate Halloween?
Yeah, well, no, I like Halloween the holiday lot because I like the fun of dressing up and the mischief element, but I don't like slasher. I don't like any of that.
Did you ever
what about monster stuff?
I don't know. I don't like haunted houses. Are you kidding me?
What about what about just like cool monsters in movies? Like
I like cool monsters.
Okay.
We had an Oculus here,
but not stabby stuff.
About a year ago, an Oculus Rift here, and there was this silly roller coaster demo. And it was neat because you go over that top hill and you really did feel that little roar that you get when you're going over a roller coaster hill. So that convinced me that if I'm going to play a horror game in this, it really might frighten me. And, you know, especially with surround sound.
I played Alien with the Oculus.
What was that like?
Isolation.
I didn't do that.
It just felt like playing a video game. It just didn't really hit me. But the roller coaster did, because in the roller coaster, what really freaked me out in that is that, and I played a couple of these, you can stand up or in your roller coaster seat, which you're used to like just sitting there, you know, and like maybe you're feeling like the heights of where you are, but you can turn around and look behind what's going on in the roller coaster. And you never get to do that in real life. And it's amazing. And I did that last time I was on a roller coaster safely. I just kind of turned around and like looked behind what goes on back there, and it's just as entertaining as what goes on ahead.
I want to play Metal Gear Solid 5 with VR so that every time I turn around, D-Horse is just standing there, like that thing where he sneaks up on you when you call him and just turn around.
Yeah, he's always there.
That happens on The Witcher, too. Like, there's some weird horse apparition AI going on in games.
Who wins in a fight between D-Horse and Roche? Like,
D-Horse.
Yeah.
He'll poop on him.
He can poop on him.
Mechanically, this is interesting because most Resident Evils are third person. So to play a Resident Evil game in the first person where you don't see your character, you control them in the first person will be, I mean, I don't think that's a deal breaker or anything, but that's totally like a not insignificant consideration that has to be made.
Yeah. Some quotes from Capcom's Integrator Report 2015 read, "At present, we are focusing our energy on challenging the virtual reality game market. In this terrifying world, you can twist and turn as you like, but there's no escaping the creatures closing in on you until you remove your VR headset and return to reality, that is."
So they say.
Yeah.
Currently, we've all seen that not work out.
Currently, we are building a new game development engine able to support VR, which is the hottest market right now, while simultaneously developing titles for current game consoles. We have just set sail on our latest voyage. It's very dramatic reading for corporate like financial report.
I wish EA was saying this because Dead Space would be the perfect candidate.
I wonder if that's like embellished, like the actual Japanese
anniversary, right?
Yesterday was the anniversary. Yeah.
The Japanese report probably says, "Yeah, we're starting now," and then when they translated it into English, they're like,
"Just embellish the whole thing." That'd be amazing.
Yeah, it's too bad what happened to Dead Space. I loved the first game. I liked the second game.
Yeah, but it wasn't even the first game.
I didn't even bother.
Did you play Extraction?
Which one was that?
That's the shooter on Wii?
No, I didn't play that one.
Yeah, that is fun. Give that a try. That's a really good time there for a couple
hours.
It'd
be hard to go back and play that.
Probably not going to give it a try.
Probably wouldn't look very good right now.
It doesn't look great.
First Dead Space is great, though. It's so slow moving a lot of the times, and you want to move slowly. There's very few games that make me want to slow down, and man, that one does.
Yeah.
With VR, oof.
It was real good.
Those skin monsters, man. Worst type of monster.
Moving on with our horror discussion, a new Friday the 13th game was announced just this week. And this is something we've been following for a while, Jared. This is what was previously going to be Summer Camp.
Slasher Volume 1, Summer Camp.
The first in a series of slasher video games. Mm-hmm. They obtained the license for Friday the 13th, and they're turning that into a Friday the 13th game.
Yeah.
And launching a Kickstarter, which I think is a little odd. But yeah, that launched this week, and the game is planned for a fall 2016 reveal.
Yep.
Did you notice today what their Kickstarter's up to?
They're almost halfway.
Almost halfway.
Yeah, they're about 300,000 out of about 750, which is what they're shooting for. And Kickstarter-wise, for a game of this scale, it's actually a fairly moderate goal. So I think they've got a good chance of making it. They've got a large number of backers. It was 4,000 some, I think, last time I looked, if I'm remembering correctly.
Oh yeah, they'll make it.
And this will be for PS4, Xbox One, and PC, and it'll be kind of evolve with Jason. Yeah. That's the
vibe. Asymmetrical 1v7.
And I like that idea. I love it. They were talking in, Eric Goldman talked to him down in LA, along with Kane Hodder and some of the other people from Friday the 13th, Sean Cunningham, the director of the original movie. And they said, you know, in the playtesting, people plan very carefully as counselors. Then Jason pops out, and it's like lights going on and cockroaches. People just sometimes panic.
Really?
That's
how it should be.
Yeah.
So. You could do the same thing by just modifying the original NES game.
Oh, well, I mean, I panic whenever I plug the original NES game.
One person could be Jason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there could be
several other
people.
Other counselors.
And all of them
never
would
know where to go.
Zombies, though.
You'd all scramble as soon as Jason comes.
All of them would be useless except for Mark, because Mark's the only good counselor.
What's your one pro tip for going back and playing their classic Friday the 13th?
Get the knife as soon as possible, because you get the arc of the rocks over their heads, and get Mark, save Mark for the boss fights.
Game help right there. Then I did that, and I got further than I've ever gotten in that game.
Is anybody going to want to play as any of the counselors, or is everybody just going to want to be Jason?
They must have a lottery system, though. Like,
yeah. I mean, I don't know. It just feels like, and I also
I want to be the geek. That'd be cool.
I'm skeptical that Friday the 13th can pull it off, although we've all did. Just in terms of balance, like how do you, the seven, since it's 7v1, the seven have to be so much weaker. But how do you still give them a fighting chance?
Well, actually, the way they talked about it, you may not even cooperate. The counselors will not necessarily be working together. Like some of them may just be survival or
throw somebody under the bus so that they can
possibly
escape themselves.
Exactly. So
hamstring the other counselor so that you can escape.
Well, I imagine
actually pretty brilliant.
There used to be this game called
Figuratively hamstring, or literally.
I don't know what that means.
A game years ago, there was a Quake mod called Predator that was based on the movie, and it was a bunch of Space Marines in one predator. And the only way to become the predator was to kill the predator. The only way to score points was to kill people as the predator. So maybe it'll be like Last Man Standing becomes Jason.
I actually really like the idea that the seven counselors can choose to work together to take Jason out or turn against each other and win by being the last one to survive.
That I think that would be a great mode. And they haven't been like definitive, but they've hinted that you may not necessarily be working together. So yeah. I like that.
There's different ways to survive. If you can make it to a phone, you can call the police. If you can make it to a vehicle, you can escape. Cool.
That's right.
And there's going to be lots of, you know, kill scenarios for Jason.
Yeah.
They're bringing in Tom Savini, the makeup effects artist, to help plan these kills, which I think is pretty cool.
Do you think they're going to have like seven unique characters like Maniac Mansion?
Oh, I'm Bernard. Dibs on Bernard.
You know, they have like the geek and they have like the sorority girl. It's like Goonies.
Yeah, I was
thinking Maniac Mansion.
I would totally expect the counselors to have classes or special skills and
that
kind of thing.
Yeah.
They also have Kane Hodder, the most famous actor known for playing Jason, too.
What's he going to do?
He's doing motion capture.
Yeah, he's doing the mocap.
All right.
You think it's just
you just
PR
have to stand there.
Blurb? Yeah. He just, yeah. He has to intimidatingly stand there and breathe.
I mean, props and all credit due for authenticity, but it feels a little unnecessary.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kane Hodder's my favorite Jason. I feel like he brings, he's, Jason's scarier when Kane Hodder's playing him. He's just got that kind of that shoulder thing. He's just like that rolly kind of breathy thing. It's frightening.
I wonder how they keep it fresh. There's only one location, right? There's just Camp Crystal Lake. So
that's
how
what we've seen.
Well, but that's where Friday the 13th takes place.
My friend, what about Manhattan?
You think they're going to set a level in Manhattan?
I hope so.
What about space?
Space, okay. There's that too.
So there's going to be different levels, and then there'll be hell.
Yeah, there'd be hell. Yeah. There'd be that cruise ship they went to Manhattan in.
The cruise ship one's so
bad. I don't think that was a cruise ship. I think it was like a yacht.
I don't know. It was kind of weird that they went from a lake to Manhattan. I'm still trying to figure out how that happened.
Yeah.
Like
a channel.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the Erie Canal.
And the guy that ran the yacht, he's kind of like a nautical. I mean, he's like in a full captain uniform, and it's weird.
All captains dress that way.
Do they?
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You'll be able to unlock multiple Jason character models from the classic films, as well as additional camp counselors with their own unique stats and traits.
There we go. Mark forever.
A lot of the commenters on our IGN article were disappointed that it's a multiplayer-only game.
Oh, I'm fine with that, actually.
One of the four DLC packs will have a single player.
No, I like the idea of this as a multiplayer game. I'm great with that.
But you don't want to talk to people.
No, I don't want to. Well, if I'm Jason, I don't have to. I just kill them. I'm way more comfortable killing people than talking to them.
Yeah, the 1/8 of the time.
Would you like to look at the camera and say that?
I'm way more comfortable killing people than talking to them.
All right, see, that's why you should watch Game Scoop on video, and not just download the audio podcast every week.
All right, moving on.
Goodness.
Also, was it this week that the Half-Life 3 was announced?
So this is a nifty little thing. Yeah, I have a little bit. So we've got this.
Jared spent the week like digging into code with engineers here.
I know.
And this is his outlet for talking about what he discovered, which is really cool.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of neat. So this file dropped with a Dota update, and it's called hl3.txt. And looking at it carefully,
that
with one of our engineers, for Half-Life 3.
.txt.
Maybe. So it's probably part, from what we're looking at here, it looks like it's a piece of an internal development tool at Valve. That's probably what this is, a piece of software used to make other games. And one of the games this might have been used on at some point is some version of Half-Life 3, because there are in the file references to things like the Combine or HL3 only, etc. But it's also probably a file that's been in use for a long time, because it mentions like Xbox 360 draw distance in it. But at the same time, there's references to VR, so it's probably been built on, which, by the way, according to our engineers, is not unusual at all for these kinds of tools. They just keep getting built on.
Now, code gets built on. I mean, famously, Call of Duty is built on, an engine that's been around for
Super Mario Bros. 3.
From the Mario 3 engine. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows that.
Right. So
it does, like, all that stuff stems back to, like, you know, like Quake, right? Like,
what is that actually from?
It's the Quake engine.
Quake, okay.
So, like, and you can, there's a family tree of like all the games that go all the way back up to this original, this original tech.
Right. Half-Life 1 was a heavily modified Quake engine. Yeah.
Well, yes. Source is part of that tree.
Right.
But
this isn't actually in-engine stuff. This is a tool that's used to make software. It looks like a piece of a tool, just one little file that would be referenced by a much bigger program.
So why is the piece of that tool even uploaded in any way?
We don't know. So this is Valve. So it could be a couple of things. It could just be a mistake. That would be an easy thing to do. Or it could be a troll. Don't forget how they first teased Portal 2. They went back and patched Portal. and put these little radios in different places. And if you held the radios in certain spots, they made a sound. And if you looked at the sound through a certain kind of image processor, you could see a picture. Yeah. No, this is all real. You could then you could see a picture. And if you looked at the pictures, you could find a phone number. And if you found the phone number, you called it and nobody picked up. But if you dialed it with an old style modem, a BBS board picked up. And there was Aperture Science stuff there, and it was the first tease of Portal 2. They did that. These people are crazy.
It was a really good alternate reality game. So either there's some alternate reality game hidden so well in these files that nobody's found it yet, which seems unlikely, or more likely it was some kind of error.
Yeah, it's just a tiny little piece of some dev tool that got stuck in an update. And it doesn't prove anything except
that... But why would they call anything Half-Life internally, you're saying, if it wasn't... Well, if it wasn't worked on, at least...
They probably was worked on.
It was worked on. People are saying it's proof that Half-Life 3 is in development. I'm like, yeah, but this tool references the Xbox 360. Like, that game's obviously not coming out for that platform. Yeah. So it's code that was built upon over years and years and years that they're still using in some capacity, probably.
And it's code that would have been used to build many games, not just Half-Life. I mean, its own document says in only a few places... You know, in parentheses, HL3 only, that means that line was meant for one game, which all infers that other games are being built with the same tool.
Yeah. So it's probably a good indication that at some point in history, Valve was working on Half-Life 3.
Too long, didn't read. Half-Life 3 confirmed.
Confirmed. That is. Yeah. Yep. So I thought.
You heard it here.
A couple quick updates before we get into our 20 questions. It's looking more and more like a Twilight Princess HD remake is coming.
Yeah. I was trying to follow the breadcrumbs there, and they're tenuous but interesting. And like but that doesn't mean my hopes for a Twilight Princess are not there. I'd play Twilight Princess again. I've already played it twice. I played half of it on GameCube once it came out like a couple years ago. Once I found a copy of that a couple years ago. So.
Did you have to learn to do everything backwards then?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't know how much that game was printed in my brain until I went back and I kept turning the wrong way like all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I haven't played that game in 8 years.
Twilight Princess, I adore. Sam teases me about it, but
it's great.
I think it's great.
I think that game is unfairly maligned.
Yeah. It's my... Zelda 2 is probably my favorite Zelda, but I think Twilight Princess is the best Zelda.
It's one of my least favorite Zeldas. But
dungeons are so good, and there's so many of them.
To be fair, I mistakenly tried playing it on the Wii and when I should have played it on GameCube.
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with the Wii.
I hate the Wii controls. I hate doing this to use my sword.
I kind of like when you're running around just going like this and you just cut all the plants.
I hate the Wii controls so much. If they made an HD remake and I could just play with my gamepad, I would give it another shot.
The world was really big. I thought they did interesting things with heart pieces. I liked the sort of strangeness of the side characters. Mm-hmm. Majora's Mask and Link's Awakening weirdness seeped into, Zelda again.
Absolutely. There's some creepiness there. It almost felt like somebody that had worked on a WarioWare game at one point had gotten involved in the script writing.
Play now, you're stuck as the wolf way too much.
I was just going to say that. It's not perfect. The wolf parts drag on too long and they wear out their welcome.
You can't get anywhere in the map. The map is never open in that game. It's never Zelda. It's always these closed spaces you go in. The dungeons are great, but the whole game's like a dungeon. So you have to move through it progressively and unlock little areas. And it's not like set off on this open world in which there's danger, but you can walk away from it.
But that's been almost every Zelda since Zelda,
Yeah, but that
right?
doesn't make I mean, it good.
No, I just think it's not, it's a strange expectation.
Wind Waker was not like that.
That's
so I liked it with Wind
That's
Waker.
A good point.
I like the mix.
And an Ocarina at least was at a time in which it was so big that it felt open. You could still run from the top of Death Mountain to...
You can do that in Twilight Princess.
You can do that once, but it takes so long to unlock
that game.
Everything.
That's a big, big game. Like I don't know if it's the biggest or longest, but man.
And
it's a long game.
It just keeps going.
And that Ganon fight. I mean, that especially the last phase of that Ganon fight, when it gets quiet, that last little bit.
Spoilers, he's a pig.
No, but that's it, when he's not a pig anymore, and it gets really quiet, and it's just you and him and a sword in an empty field. That it's almost like a samurai showdown at the end of like a harakiri or something. Mm. You know, it's superb.
I never get around to Skyward Sword, so that's actually the first Zelda game I've never played. Twilight Princess, underrated.
I agree.
Completely disagree.
Best Zelda.
But I'd play it again in HD.
I can't believe.
What's your favorite?
For sure.
My favorite Zelda game?
Yeah.
I used to think it was Majora's Mask, and then I played it again, and I realized it was Ocarina of Time.
Mine is Ocarina of Time. So interestingly, in remaking that, you could actually fix that game's problems, right? Mm-hmm. So you could take what you need, which is a widescreen, nice view. You could put the map screen on your gameplay. That's all nice. But also, you could take out the motion controls. And there's no way to play it without motion controls with widescreen. Potentially not backwards.
You could also trim that, you know, 3-hour tutorial at the beginning. Yeah.
You know what's great now in Twilight Princess that I did like, and I don't know if you got this far, is the fishing. The fishing.
Oh, I like the fishing.
You get to push around and relaxing. It's a relaxing fishing experience.
I was thinking about this with Wii games recently. I watched this really long, interesting video about Mario Galaxy and all the things. It wasn't just like fawning over it. It was also pointing out the things it doesn't do well. It was this great deep dive into Mario Galaxy, and I'm like, man, I want to replay Mario Galaxy. And then I'm like, I'm never gonna, like, I don't have my Wii sensor bar set up anymore. Yeah. And I'm like, this is gonna be a whole generation of games that are like trapped on that platform because they don't work for any other
controls.
Such a
dumb system. That's such a stupid.
That's all retro games ever, and it's terrifying.
I love the thing.
But like, NES games aren't like that. Like, lots of games aren't like that, but it's so specific to that waggle. Like, Wii Sports is gonna become this weird thing that you're never gonna get to experience. Which is, you know, Wii Sports is Wii Sports, but for like a mainline Zelda game, like, it was way more reliant on, like, there were mini games of like riding the manta ray where you had to tilt the controller and all the pointing that you could do. Like, that's not stuff that they can just easily port over.
That and the DS together have that problem. Then an entire generation of Nintendo's best software is in that. I keep my Wii hooked up to this day for that.
Yeah, I don't know. I do. I definitely have like an itch to play like Galaxy over like Christmas break or something, but I don't know if I
wait
can.
Wait till you have an itch to play Deaths of Tron in an environmental cabinet.
Well, that, I've had that pain, and that's a hard itch to scratch.
So Twilight Princess was 2006?
It was a launch title, so yeah, that'd be 2006.
So next year will be its 10-year anniversary.
Wow.
So that would make sense to put out the HD remake then.
That'd be great.
One more quick update. We got the release date, the official full release date for Darkest Dungeon.
Oh, is that true?
January 19th.
Oh, that got delayed, but that's fine.
Yeah. They wanted to put it out like this October. It's been in early access since January, February this year. Really, really good, difficult roguelike game.
Yeah, man, it's so good.
I would recommend you go play it, but at this point, if you haven't played it yet, just wait till January when the full game is released.
I mean, that's kind of like, I absolutely love the early access. And the early access wasn't like bullshit early access.
No,
like, it was a totally fun experience, but it was like, I almost didn't want to. I played like 10 hours of it, and I'm like, yep, it's great. I'll wait, you know, and so then I shut it down. But I still think about it. Like, I play a lot of games that I'm kind of like, that just don't stick with me. But Darkest Dungeon really is one that I'm like, I'm checking in on and looking for updates.
That could easily be a 50-hour life suck right there.
For sure.
That game's wonderful.
Really? I've never heard of it. Explain.
Oh, yeah, you have? Really?
Wow.
Roguelike 2D dungeon crawler. You put together a four-person team.
Top down?
No, side-scrolling.
Oh, sorry.
Cool.
You put together...
Like Rogue Legacy then?
Well, no. It's not pixel art.
It's turn-based
style.
Combat.
It's
weird.
It's a darker, more hardcore game.
I know, I did. I think I even played that. Yeah. Where it's just one enemy and one enemy?
Well, it's a team of four and a team of four.
You're kind of bump up like this. And
it's smart in basically every way a game can be smart. So the way that the combat's set up is you have four people lined up here.
You showed it to me when we had it here.
And then there's four enemies lined up, but the positioning matters so much. Like, depending on which position you are in your ranking, you can do different attacks. Mm-hmm. And you can push and pull enemies. Like, if there's an enemy that's got a gun, you can pull them to the front and they can't use it anymore. Great use of status effects.
Yeah. The status effects are the main unique gameplay mechanic.
And the characters can go insane, so you can lose a character by them losing all their health or by them losing their sanity.
But they're kind of like cards, right? They're not like characters.
I don't think
they're
the same game.
We're talking about a different game here.
The art style is they're not like cards, but they're like.
But it's turn based. Like, you're not adventuring and jumping around and stuff.
No.
It's not direct control. And they've done they're smart. It's kind of node based. You're not really moving around a map so much as you're moving from point to point.
We're not really doing it justice. Unfortunately.
The game is awesome.
Watch the trailer.
Sounds super boring.
Yeah,
to me.
Really good.
It's really, really good.
Watch the trailer
really
on IGN.com.
You guys like Hearthstone.
Hearthstone.
Yeah, but no, it's not a card game. It's an RPG.
Cool.
Have you ever played Hearthstone?
No.
Do you hate card games?
Yeah.
Okay. Probably wouldn't like Hearthstone then.
I don't like Solitaire either, so don't get me started.
It's all right.
What about Minesweeper?
This week's 20 questions suggestion comes from Wes Pomeroy.
Ooh.
Pomegranate.
We all know how this works.
Wes Pom.
You guys have 20 questions to guess this mystery game.
Did this game come out before January 1st, 2000?
Yes.
Did this game come out before January 1st, 1990?
No.
Okay. Got our decade.
Was this game available on PC?
At some point, probably yes. But that's not what it's known for.
Okay.
Was this game a multi-platform release when it originally came out?
Not originally, but event, but then it afterwards.
Came multi-platform. All right.
So I say we narrow. It's worth. We often try to cut corners by not narrowing down the platform.
I think we're doing really good.
I think it's worth.
You think we should platform it then?
Yeah.
Okay. So known for one platform. Should we ask about the media, like disc versus cartridge?
I don't know. Whatever you want.
All right. Was this game initially released on cartridge media?
Yes.
All right, there we go. So it's a 1990 after cartridge. So that cuts it to...
Did the game have 3D graphics?
3D graphics? Cartridge. No.
Yeah, Nintendo 64, lots of 3D games.
Oh, that was it. I forgot about the Nintendo 64. Okay, so did this game... Was this game primarily associated with Nintendo?
No.
Sega?
Was this game primarily associated with Sega?
Nah.
Or
not
Sega
really.
Console. Okay.
Not really.
But it launched. Okay.
Well, I want to take that question back.
So it's a cross-platform game that was on Super Nintendo and Genesis.
Yeah, unless we're talking about some obscure TG-16 title or something. Yeah.
I thought he said it wasn't a cross-platform title.
No, I said it was.
Yeah. Oh, it was. Okay, so Genesis SNES game. Okay, did you ask a question?
Well, I think we can confirm that. Was this a game on Was this game on Super Nintendo?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Is this game made by a company that's still making games today?
No, I don't think so. We certainly don't talk about them ever.
All right.
That's Let's 10, see. By the way.
So that obviously knocks out
genre, protagonist, theme, setting. What do you think, guys?
Yeah. All of those. Yeah.
All right. Does this game.
Yeah, ask if it's a. Well, what are the most popular types of games?
Platformers,
RPGs,
usually.
Platformers.
Is this game a platformer?
Yes.
All right, there we go. So platformer, cross-platform, platformer.
Does it have an animal for a main character?
Yes.
Okay.
It's probably Bubsy.
I don't even remember the Bubsy.
Or Air the Acrobat.
I only remember... Okay.
Or Sonic
remember,
the Hedgehog.
Yeah, but it's not
It's not associated with a Sega. Yeah. Right.
Okay, so we're talking about something that appeared on cartridge, so we're not thinking like Gex or anything weird like that.
Mascot platformer.
Probably, yeah.
Well, one the main on mask. He plays an animal platformer. Not Echo the Dolphin.
Because we've already done that. And that wouldn't cross.
And platforms are just sad when you're a dolphin.
It's just like, aww.
So what's a third?
It's like crossing a street.
Third party cross platform. Now, Rocket Knight, did that only come out on Genesis or was that also on SNES?
I think it was on SNES.
What is it?
Should we narrow down like a PlayStation game or something?
No, no, no. There was a
Genesis Rocket Knight.
Should we narrow down the animal?
It could be Disney.
I could be wrong about this.
Could be
a Lion King game. Okay, is it a licensed game?
No.
All right.
Helps.
Is it a mascot platformer?
Can you clarify the question?
Yeah, I don't think he.
It's an animal platformer.
Okay, I can't. I don't know.
If we really want to ask that question,
we don't have to.
I want
to
ask. Does the animal act like a person, or does the animal act like an animal?
Do you want to ask that? Ask that. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, you go ahead. Okay. Does the animal act like an animal?
Can you clarify your
question? Does the animal wear clothes?
Yes.
Okay, it's an animal wearing clothes. All right, so it's an animal wearing clothes platforming. Does Bubsy wear clothes?
It could still be Rocket Knight.
Could still be Bubsy.
I can't picture a Rocket Knight game on Genesis.
Why do I remember Rocket Knight being a Genesis game?
There was an old school 2D Rocket Knight.
I think there was, yeah.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah, it was a really good remake.
What is Bubsy? Is he a cat?
He's a platformer. Yeah.
Sweet.
Is the animal a mammal?
No.
Oh,
see? So it's probably Gex.
Oh my gosh.
15.
Was there Gex started on the PlayStation?
I think. So you can't do that.
Okay, it could be a turtle. It's not a Ninja Turtle. Wait, we could just keep trying different.
No, okay,
we don't have mammals, so we could try like reptile.
Why can't
or...
turtles be a platformer?
Oh.
There just wasn't any.
Is the animal
a reptile? The first one on NES is a platformer.
No.
It's not a reptile or a mammal. Let's just keep trying animal types. We can narrow
it down. Is it James Pond Jr.?
You only have 4 questions left.
Oh my gosh. It could be a bird. It could be. There's not that many. It could be a dinosaur.
Man.
When I said reptile,
oh,
it
could be
I
a
said,
di- oh yeah.
No, he would probably have kind of at least qualified dinosaurs. Mm.
And then this, we did get. Let's remember our earlier questions where it did eventually come to like later platforms and get ported around.
Okay, a platformer with an animal protagonist. Developer's not around. It's a platformer, so it's probably not a fish. So it's probably what's left. There's birds.
There's James Pond.
James Pond. He's an amphibian, right?
James Pond Jr. is a duck, I believe.
Oh, I thought he was a frog.
I thought he was a fish.
Maybe.
None of us know what James Pond is.
I thought James Pond Jr. was a frog, but maybe I'm confusing that with Freddy as FRO7. That's it, yeah.
Anyway.
Which is that weird British cartoon about
anyway.
Frogs.
We're working through it, Damon.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm like out of.
Should we just
keep
go
asking
for
animal
keep
types?
Going animals.
Yeah. You guys got close, and you're missing a big one.
We're missing a big one here.
But it's not Sonic the Hedgehog.
It's not a hedgehog.
Did you ask?
I didn't ask about birds. All we know is that it's not a mammal or a reptile. Could be an insect as well, of course.
Could be an insect.
It wears clothes. It wears clothes.
And it wears clothes.
Let's see. And we mentioned Disney at one point.
And it's not licensed.
But it's not licensed, so it can't be a Ninja Turtle. It can't be Disney.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, so it can't be a turtle.
Yeah.
Well, it can be a turtle.
It's a reptile. Turtles are reptiles.
Yeah.
So it can't be a reptile.
What are we screwing up, Damon?
I'm going to ask if it's a bird.
No.
Okay. Not a bird.
Three questions left.
Okay, well.
What platformer do you know of that's a bird?
I don't know. There's penguin.
That one that the guy
that made in the 90s?
Fat Penguin for the Famicom, but that's not a.
The one that Sonic the Hedgehog, the guy made after. Evie the Kiwi.
Yeah. That's true.
I should have asked him.
Bub and Bob don't wear clothes.
They're also reptiles.
Good. Yeah, they're reptiles.
And yeah, fantasy reptiles.
Oh my gosh.
Wes pretty, Pomeroy is stumping you guys.
He is. Wes has got us. Man, this Toe Jam and Earl stuff, we're in.
That's right. That was.
I know we've already been disgraced at one point here. This is bad.
So it was on Super Nintendo.
Yeah, and multi-platform.
It's a platform.
Yep.
A platformer without a human protagonist.
Kirby? Is Kirby an animal?
No, it's not associated with Nintendo or something.
No, it's not. Yeah.
It's a third
platform. Multi-platform may have showed up on PC eventually.
And the developer.
We're talking about something really widespread. Wow, I feel like so dumb right now.
Did it? Should I ask if it took place on land or something?
Yeah, did it take place on
a platformer? I mean, this got
on Earth.
Well, I don't know. This is so confusing. We're getting desperate here, and poor Damon's just like, "Come on, guess something, people." It could be an insect or a fish. I mean, we're running out of animals.
Did the animal talk?
That's a good question. That's a pretty good question. Is Vector Man an animal? Oh wait, no, he's not on the SNES.
Let's pass that question because I want to say no, but I don't know for certain.
Is it a bug?
But by saying that, the animal is capable of talking.
Can I ask you? I know what it is.
It's totally Earthworm Jim.
Oh yeah.
Earthworm. Oh my gosh, he is an animal.
Are you guessing?
Do you play as an earthworm?
Yes. Does he talk?
Yeah.
He talks a little bit.
Yeah,
he talks.
I wasn't sure.
Nicely done, sir.
Finally got there. When you asked if it was a mammal, I said no.
It makes total
sense. It's all that time I spent trying to forget Earthworm Jim. That's why this stumped me.
Wears clothes, platformer, had a year of exclusivity on Genesis.
Okay.
And then it came to like everything else.
Gotcha.
And there were sequels that came to other platforms.
Oh my gosh.
That was developed by Shiny. So not great. Shiny still games. Around?
They made MDK.
But they're not still around, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. Developed by, or published by Playmates.
Wasn't he? Didn't he have in Clay Fighter 63 and a third eventually?
Yes, probably.
I think Earthworm Jim was in that. Yeah.
Woo.
Wow.
How's it going? You got it in the end.
We should have asked if there was a cartoon. And yes, he is a mascot for that company.
Okay, yeah. The mascot platformer, just like if the main character is in fact the mascot.
They're all
like
mascots.
Asmik or Bubsy. Or, yeah. Well, not all of them, though. I mean,
Bubsy is the mascot?
Yeah, he was the mascot for a while. Whatever those guys were called, I don't remember. The guys that made Bubsy.
Something?
No, he wasn't Jellico, was he?
I don't know.
Yeah. Bubsy was a mascot, wasn't he?
All right, real quick, what are you guys going to be playing this weekend? I'm going to be playing Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
Oh man, I don't know. I'm gonna be trading Star Wars cards probably all weekend.
That's the game you're gonna be playing. All right.
I have been obsessing over creating my first Mario Maker level. I've just been working on the same level for 2 weeks.
Oh, okay, wow.
Real That's level, amazing. And I'm finally almost done with it. So I'm gonna finish it this weekend.
All right.
I mean, I might
Earthworm Jim.
You're gonna play some Earthworm Jim.
No, I'm gonna play Metal Gear. Like you. It's all I've been.
I might actually try to dig out a Wii sensor bar and play some Mario Galaxy.
Good luck. Yep.
Good plan. It's not that hard to plug in. It's got that big long cable.
Yeah, I don't even know where any of that
stuff
is.
We have a cabinet of only those in
the office. My house is a dumpster fire ever since I had a kid. I don't know where anything is.
I have two of those. You want me to bring you one?
No.
Two kids?
Okay. No, two sensor bars.
Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, is a wonderful game, and I love it, and I'm playing it, and it's all I do.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's
interfering with my
consumes
work.
All my thoughts. All I want to do with my life is play Metal Gear.
We're going to solve a level together after this. We're going to figure out what's going
on. Mission 16 is giving me a real hard time.
Me too. And I tried to write a guide for it. Apparently it wasn't.
Ambush him before the airport. Bring the rocket.
No.
I'm telling you. It's a way to do it.
All right, that's all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Jared. Thank you, Sam. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out. We'll be right back.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.